We're up to Daf Nun Aleph, Shabbos, the Mishnah. Lo chisahu mi ba'od yom, lo yichasenu mi shetechashech. If you didn't do the covering for the hatzmanah during the daytime, you mustn't do it afterwards, even if it's not mosif hevel, because once it's already nighttime, we said during the Bein HaShemashot, there's no problem, because normally the kederot are rotchot Bein HaShemashot. And therefore, we're not choshesh that you may end up reboiling them. Mashenken, if you haven't taken care of it during the day, and now it's already nighttime, then we're afraid that you'll find it when you're coming to be matzmin, you'll find it gets cool down, and you may end up reheating it before you do the tatzmona. In which case, it would be chayev and mavir, perhaps. It's actually machlokes rishonim, which we'll discuss when we talk about the overall inyanim of hatzmona. Kisahu v'nidgala mutar l'chasoto. Now, if it became uncovered, and the truth is, as Tosis points out, even if you had uncovered it to be a dying, it would be okay to recover it, because we found that you're able to take out the kedera and replace it on Shabbos. So that it couldn't be, that means dafk if it became uncovered, and so on. The reason that it says kiso v'nidgala is because here it's talking about that it was still miba'od yom. That was the reish of the mishnah began. Lo kiso miba'od yom. Or he had been mechaset miba'od yom, and it became uncovered miba'od yom. But over there he discovers it at night, and he's allowed to recover it, even though it's already Shabbos. But if he had uncovered it b'dafka, since it was Erev Shabbos, then he wouldn't be able to be mechaset on Shabbos, because then that would be the beginning of his hatzmanah. So, but lamaisa, this doesn't mean if it became uncovered on Shabbos, because even if you uncovered it on Shabbos, it should be fine. We've been talking about putting it back in anyway. Omer of Yudah Mishmah, mutar lahatmin et hatzonin. Something which is cold, you would be able to be matmin. Now Rashi learns that this means you can be matmin something that's cold in order to insulate it, so that it shouldn't get hot. And we don't say that people will not be able to be mechalek between being matmin on Shabbos. They'll think, okay, in other words, you're allowed to insulate things. I'm allowed to insulate things if they're hot too. What's the difference, hot or cold? And thereby the whole gezer of hatmona would become bottle. Now, we'll see, it is interesting in today's Yerushalmi selection, some very interesting other options for understanding the problem of Hatzmona Betzoni.
So this is the hard shot itself.
Yeah. Now others learn that the meaning over here is not Tzonein to keep it cold, but also Tzonein to warm it. In other words, if it's cold and you want to get it a little bit up to room temperature, so that too would be mutar. Rav Yosef, Markam Ashman, I don't understand. That's a chiddush. And Tanina, it says memal beferish. I mean, memal yadam kiton. The notim tachat akaro tachat akesed. You could fill up a container of water, put it underneath your pillow or underneath a quilt. Omrei Abaya, what do you mean? Tuva Kam Ashman. It's telling me an awful lot. You know, that's it. Have mean hani mili davash in darko lahatmin. Abu davash darko lahatmin lo. I might have thought over there, it's talking about where somebody sees, there indeed, this is how Rashi understands, there indeed it means that you're trying to get it to room temperature. So you put it into under your pillow where you've been sleeping to warm it up a bit or something. So that's, it's not the derech to be matmin that. But something which it, derech would be to be matmin. And now, the person who's looking at me can't see the difference. He doesn't know whether this is a cold soup or whether it's a hot soup. You might think that you would be gozer. Don't allow hatzmana of a thing that is normally mutman. It's a soup. Nafkamina, how you want to serve it. Kamashma, there's no problem even in that. Omer Ravuna Omer Rebbe, asur lahatmina tatsone. Now here Ravuna quotes Rebbe as saying, you're not allowed to be matmin something that is cold, to keep it cold. Is that possible? Vatanya Rebbe Hitir Latmina Tatsonein. How could Rebbe possibly have said Asur Latmina Tatsonein, where we just said that Rebbe was matir la'atmen ratzonein. Lokasha, ha mikameda lishmeim Rav Yishmo Rav Yossi, and ole barset l'shaminen. One that was before he heard from Rav Yishmo Rav Yossi, which we'll see in a moment what happened, where he discovered that he was wrong in asring hatmana betonin. The other one was afterwards. Kiha, this was the case. What happened was that Yativ Rebbe was sitting, and he said, Asur latmina tatsone. Amar lefanav Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi. So Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, who was there, reports to him, I don't know, Abba hitir latmina tatsone. My father Rebbe Yossi had no objections to Hatzmona of Tzonin on Shabbos. So Rebbe immediately said, Amar kvar harad zaken, if that's the case, then the zaken has already said that it's mutter and I was wrong, and I take it back. And that accounts for the report that Rebbe says, mutar natzmona of Tzonin. Omer of Papa Bura e kamen b'chavavim zetze. Take a look at how much they cared for each other, Rebbe and Rav Yossi, because the truth is that Ilu Rav Yossi Kayam Hayakafuf Yoshev Lifnei Rebbe. Had Rav Yossi been alive at that time, he would have been sitting there like a Talmud in front of Rebbe. Now, the truth is Rashi learns that he was not really a Talmud of Rebbe, but on Rebbe, he was the Zakeh, but because of the Kvod HaDesiyut, he would have been Kofuf to Rebbe. Which Tosis is bothered by, because Lamaisa, I mean, the Sukkiah of Lechora is talking about something that has to do with the nature of Chivuv, not in terms of the Nesiyut. The Pashtas, each one views the other one as Godol in terms of his Psak. So Tosis brings a riot that this is the case, that we had the whole problem of in Nida, where he wanted to test them out. He says, so who do you want me to tell you like my father or like Rebbe? And he says, tell me like Rebbe. He says, this is an Adam Gadol. I mean, what does he choose? The Talmud he could have heard from the Rebbe of Rebbe. So obviously Rebbe Yossi was Gadol Mimenu. Right? But apparently Tosfos says that the idea is indeed initially Rebbe Yossi was greater, as we said over there. And Rebbe was the Talmud. It's just that Rebbe, as the Gemara explains there, Rebbe, because of the chidud hashmaitata, the Talmidim used to come in front of him, and he heard so many people had to deal with so many issues, he indeed ended up being more mechudat. Nonetheless, he was mekabel the psak of Rebbe Yossi. So you see that even though each one would have been mekabel, the other one for their inyan and halacha, but the bottom line is he was mekabel the psak, lamrot, the mutual respect, which ends up, even though it's in different areas, ends up, you would have thought that each one would have stayed on his own, stuck with his own sack.
That was one of my main sonnen. You wrap it up in a blanket, it shouldn't get colder.
You came in a little late.
Yes.
Uh-huh. you're, that's not sonnen now. And anyway, Beni Atmi is considered to be Cham. Yeah, so we discussed this earlier. It's a machlokas rishonim, but Rashi is talking about keeping it cold. So anyway, if Rav Yossi was Kayam, he would have been Kof of Yashil Zay Rebbe. How do I know? Because Lamais Rav Yishmol Rav Yossi was Mamale Mokam Avotav Avi. Rav Yishmol Rav Yossi was the full equivalent of his father. And even so, Kafuf Yoshev Zay Rebbe. And he would sit there as if he were a Talmud, even though he was Gadol from Rebbe, Rashi learns, but because of the Chvod HaNesiyut, again, as I mentioned to you, that Tosfos doesn't agree with that particular approach, but he would have been Kof of Yoshev either Mipnei HaNesiyut or because of the Chidud HaShmaitza of Rebbe. V'koma Kvah HaRazakein, nonetheless, look how Rebbe respects the Psak of Rebbe Yossi. Omar le Reb Nachman le Daro Avde. Reb Nachman made a point of saying to his Eved Daro, Atmin litzone, go and put away this water, keep it cold. Va'aitali mayim da'ochim kapila arma, and bring me also some coffee from the Goyesha coffee shop. Rabbi Ami did not like that. Shomer Rabbi Ami v'ikbin. Om Rabbi Yosef, my time v'ikbin. I said, what are you so upset about? I mean, obviously, he's doing Ka'alacha, Rabbi Nachman holds, like his own Rabbanim. He's following his Rebbe's. One, he was following like Rav. One, he was following like Shmuel. And both of them, he was Mekabel from. Because Kishmuel, the Amr of Yeram Shmuel, Mutar Latimina, that's her name. Shmuel Amaisi was Matir Hatamanat Sonein, and that's all he was doing. Wasn't his own Kiddush. He's following a normative Psak. And to Rav, the Amr Rav Shmuel, Rav Yitzchak, Amr Rav, something that everybody is Sonech on all the time. Since water is usable, even if it isn't heated, so there's no ister bishulakum on such a thing.
Yeah.
In other words, it doesn't have to be cooked. It's a hadarava. Even though if it's made cold, it's even. No. Seriously. I mean, those the real coffee lovers are maxed not to make it through heating. You make it first. You get out the coffee with the forcing cold water through. It's much more difficult. That
the
doesn't coffee, ruin the time.
The way you boil coffee, in the way shop, is that
okay? Because the chimum per se is considered to be mutter.
Because the water boils.
Right.
The water boils the coffee.
Listen, if we're going to follow through with your logic, we're going to destroy entire industries. Nobody else goes to Starbucks. You want to take this upon yourself? Only Jews pay $10 for a cup of coffee. Well, who saw that? Why was he makbiz? I say he held Adam Chashev Shani. He held that a person who's Chashev, like Reb Nachman, if he goes and he buys, I don't want to say he bought coffee, didn't have coffee in those days, but if he takes hot water from the Kapila, so who knows what the next guy's going to do. Figure, I saw him going into Starbucks. He probably drank the Cholav Akum too. So Mamela, we not want to be, he held it was wrong for Reb Nachman to do such a thing. Tana Rabbanan, Apa Pisha Amru Ein Tomnim, Afilu B'davar She'eino Mosif Hevel Mishecha Shecha. Even though the Maisa we have a Gezerah, that even something that's not Mosif Hevel, once it's already Shabbos, you cannot be Matzmin, Imbala Hosif Mosif. If you want to add additional insulation on something that you had already been told me about Yom, there would be no Isser in that. Ketzad Huo said, now Tosfos does not like the words Ketzad Huo said. Because the fact is, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is about to say something that the Tanna Kamma would not have agreed to. You can't possibly say Ketzad Huo said to explain meaning what and then say something beyond what the original statement was. He says this is a wrong year, as a Ketzad Huo said. And that instead it should simply say, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, I disagree with you. You're saying you can only be Mosif, which would mean that you couldn't change the covering, you could add to the covering. I hold you could even take off the previous covering. Let's say you had it covered with sheets, which are not such a good insulator. Take off the sheets. And you can instead, you can put down a coat over it, which is much thicker and will keep the heat better. So there's no problem. Well, you can do vice versa. You can uncover the glufkarin if you don't want it to stay that hot. And meniach et asadinim instead, so that it shouldn't overcook. So apparently that's going beyond what the Tanna Kamma is saying, and the raya that's true is v'chein hayarav and shimon ben gamliel omer. Furthermore, what do you mean? Furthermore, in other words, further to the kula that I just told you, that I'm willing to accept even a change in the coverings, which the Tanna Kamma never would have agreed to. I also say lo asu elo oto mecham. The only problem is where you have something that is insulated in the same hot container that it was originally insulated in. So there you have a shaila already about whether you could be matmin during Shabbos. But if you take something out of it, out of its original pot, you put it now into a cold pot, so you're cooling it down. So over there, you can be even insulated on Shabbos. Because, I mean, hashtakuriko makula, tuchiko mir tachla, I don't understand. Well, what's the problem? This shlema, normally, where we see we're interested in making sure that this is hot, so we're afraid if we'll allow you to insulate it on Shabbos, you may sense that it's not hot enough for the insulation to really help you very much, and therefore you'll heat it. Mashenken over here, for heaven's sakes, if you were concerned with heating it, you wouldn't have put it into a new container which is going to cool it down significantly. So therefore, there's nothing to be gozer in such a case, and as long as it's not in the original pot, it's okay even to insulate it on Shabbos itself. And this is a further kula of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, even though we said before, as Tosus points out, we had in Kira the Pina Mimecham Lamecham as Iser, but over there it was talking about where you were trying to heat the water that you put into the Mecham originally. When you poured out that water and you're putting it over there, you're interested in the heat. But over here, obviously you're not interested in the heat, because otherwise what's the point of cooling it down before you insulate it?
Is the Mecham the Kli was boiling?
Yeah, a mecham is a metal kettle, as opposed to a kedera, which is what we would call an earthenware pot, like a crock pot.
You're pouring it out of this first pot into another pot.
Yeah, so there you're cooling it off already in the silver. Well, why should we be cautious? You're going to boil it. You're cooling it down. So what? We're going to be afraid you're going to heat it up. Now, taman v'chisa, the davar anital b'shabbat, if you went ahead and were matmin it and covered it with something that is not moved, you know what, even if you were matmin it on a davar she'eino dito b'shabbat, even if the thing around the sides was something, let's say, mochin, we said, kupa shel mochin, you're certainly not going to be throw out a kupa shel mochin just because you needed it for one time to be matmin. So okay, so it's mukta, but at least you are mechasa it with the davar anital b'shabbat. Then there's no problem. Hareza no telo machzir, since it's easy to put your hand in and lift up, that you take off the cover, and there's no problem now taking out the pot. So there's no issue. But suppose you covered the whole thing with a davar she'eino nital b'shabbat. Suppose you had mukta in it, or for that matter, even if the hatmana was with something not mukta, but the top was covered with the davar she'eino nital b'shabbos. Now, we know from before that ima yam megulam mikitzato, if you have a handle that's sticking out, you know, you can pick it up. As Rashi explained, you can't say that the top of a pot should be considered a basis of davar asur, because it's not meant for supporting what's on top of it. On the contrary, it's that which is meant to cover the pot. So as long as you can grab hold of the cover, there's no problem in lifting it up, and then you're able to get to the pot. But suppose you were really stupid, and you covered everything, including the cover. So what do you do then? If you were mechaset with a dovish enoni tal b'shabbat, and it's not miktzat or migulah, Simlav eno no telo machzir, then you cannot put it, lift up the pot. There's nothing to do. Now Rashi asks, it's interesting that this should be the place of all places where we get such a tremendously important machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. But Rashi asks over here, since it says, it's one of the cases, that if you surrounded the pot with something that is nital b'shabbat, and you just covered it with something that's not nital b'shabbat, what is to prevent you from putting your hands around the bottom and then lifting the pot up from the bottom? Because then you're not touching the mukzah, because it was surrounded by things that weren't mukzah. So Rashi says, because there the pot becomes a basis for davar asur. Because since you put something on the pot, even though it's on the cover of the pot, but l'maisa, we know that you can have a basis, I mean, the cover is simply bottled to the pot. And since you were meniachit, all the cases that we had before, and we're going to have later in Chavis, where the main issue is brought up, can you, that's what Chavis is all about. What do you do with a barrel that has a stone on it, that in order to keep it shut tight. Can you turn the barrel to its side? What about if there's another barrel that get broken if you turn it to its side? Can you lift up the barrel, move it, and then let the stone fall? All of those issues. So Rajas, even though over there we say that it's mutter, but that's talking about where he forgot, he was shokheach. But if it was meniach, then he turned it into a davar sheino nitol b'Shabbos because he made it a basis of davar osur. Tosfos Tainus here, a very important fundamental distinction between these cases, and he says that can't be the explanation, because meniach, he brings riots, that meniach means you were meniach it there permanently. In other words, meniach it not meaning to take it off in an hour on Shabbos. Over here, the whole point of the kisui was that it was not meant to be left on there for Shabbos. So how could that be called meniach? Which of course would make tremendous nafkaminas for us if we would pask in this way on Shabbos, where we get into so much trouble, we need to leave something for a while on the table, and then we have to work these sugyas out when we get to the din of basis and chavis. He tain is the only reason that the Gemara comes up with the problem of the imlave no no tell. Well, you can imagine many possibilities. First of all, it could be talking about that you have your pot inside of another container, which was, like we said, kupa matal tzida. I mean, that was common. You have a large container, because otherwise, how are you going to use mochin? Use mochin because you have a box, you put the pot in, and then you fill around the box with mochin. So if over here you covered the top, it means you covered the way to get into the side of the box. So even if the bottom of the box and the edges was covered, was surrounded with a double that is, nito b'Shabbos, the word kiso doesn't mean just on the cover. The word kiso, you cover the box, how are you going to get your hands in there now to pull out the box from the bottom? Or maybe the case is, says Tosus, with the type of cover, apparently it was standard in his days, they had an earthenware cover that was heavy, would fit over the top of the pot so that it couldn't slip off, in which case you wouldn't be able to be mata it. There'd be no way to get the cover off unless you lifted up the adayim.
What would be wrong with this cover? Remove a cover.
No, because the whole idea was that you're gonna be able to be mata it, so that you'd have to get to the top of the cover to pull it off. And how can you do that? It's still covered with the mukta, so you still have the problem. Okay, but whatever he says, whatever it is, the case is that you couldn't do it like Rashi, okay? Use your imagination. But as far as the shaila of Basis HaDavar Asur, that's not the problem. Rabbi Yudaimer, Na'orecho Pishtan Dakario Kizeva. Okay, let's go through a number of the different, we said, as Rabbi Yudah told us earlier, that anything that has a large surface area that does tend to oxidize is no different than a compost heap, and in fact it would be considered to be not like the Tanakama, would be a dover that is mosif hevel. But you could take a kli that is hot, and the mecham, as I mentioned to you earlier, mecham is made out of metal, kedera is made out of earthenware, so you could take one metal kettle, put it on top of another metal kettle. You say, well, wait, isn't the metal kettle mosif hevel? Is that called mosif hevel? It's the same thing, basically. Or kedera agabi kedera. Now, Rashi brings that this girsa is wrong, and that even a kedera, which is made out of earthenware, is not considered to be mosif hevel to a mefan. The girsa that we have, some of the Meforshim Taina, is a total mistake, and it isn't even the girsa that Rashi was coming to object to, because over here it says lo kedera agave mecham. Why would you not be able to put a kedera on top of a mecham, since that even if you tie it, the kedera is mosif hevel, it wouldn't be the derech to put it on top; it would be the derech to put it on the bottom. At least according to the Beis Yosef, others in Mekayim, even this Girsa. Again, Rashi brings from the Braisa that this is not true. and that it should say, oh, kidera agabi mekama mekama agabi kidera. In other words, we don't view the difference in the heat retention of a kidera, which is made out of porcelain, to be a mosif hevel to a mekam just because of the fact that it has more heat retention, ceramics have more heat retention than metal does. That's not considered by us to be a difference. The gears that we have here is that it is a significant difference, and we view it to be a mosif hevel. V'tach, you know, by the way, I think it's kedai just to point out an interesting thing here in the Gemara, in terms of the idea of mosif hevel. Well, it's clear that we're using the word mosif hevel in ways that we certainly wouldn't. In other words, to us, we would simply, in the categories, our language categories, the cultural categories, is you have things that are insulated, and you have things that are warmers. You can't have a better insulator which now becomes a warmer. That doesn't. We would never see such a thing. I mean, for us to say, well, a coat would be usher, but a sheet would be mutter. It's ridiculous. If there's no source of heat, then a coat's not going to make something any warmer, obviously. Then I mean, it'll keep something colder, not warmer. If you put it in a coat, you'll keep your cold water colder for longer than if you put it in a sardine. You're not going to warm it by putting, it's like a child, you know, say, well, put a coat on it, that'll warm it up. I mean, on the contrary, you'll put a coat on it, it'll keep it cold. So what's the point of the insulator over here? So it seems that what we're including, and here is a place where this is a significant issue. The kedera retains heat more than a metal mechan does, but it doesn't get any hotter, correct? It can't be mosif more than you start with. If I'm starting now, I have a mechan. If I had two mechans, you're not going to say, aha, now you've got more heat. You're doing the hatmana on a particular amount of edible or potable material, and the shaila is, are you going to be adding heat or not adding heat? So what's the issue therefore now of the kedera? So there's additional heat there. So what? You can't add heat once you put it there, you see? Gentlemen, I'm going to make myself clear. If a dovra mosif hevel, again, the way we would have thought about it, and here's the place where it's brought out very clearly in this circuit. The way we would have thought about it is, if something is cooling down, then no matter how many blankets you're going to put on it, it's still cooling down. It's just going to cool down more slowly because it's going to be able to radiate or lose less heat because of the insulator. Less rapidly. Correct? That's all. So for us to start thinking about adding a kedera, or adding a coat to a sheet, it's just ridiculous. What does it have to do with anything? There's no new source of heat, and therefore you can't possibly say that we should make a gezeirah that this is going to be similar to Shema Yatmin Beremetz, and so on and so forth. Now, here is this case over here of Mecham and Kedera and the relationship between the two. Further strengthens the suspicion that we've had all along here, is that the cases in the Mishnah seem to include things that indeed heat spontaneously because they oxidize, or for whatever other reason, and things which only insulate better by being around whatever you're using more tightly, packed more tightly, wet sand as opposed to loose sand, and so on and so forth. What would be the explanation for such a thing? Clearly, in other words, in one of them, we're more chayish for the Shema Yatmi in actual coming ultimately to be Martiachit, because you'll put it into remnants, right? So one could say that it's simply a matter of psychology. Whatever is more similar to that which a person will possibly be matmin beremetz, we ask. But let me just point out one thing, that when let's say we're boiling up a pot. Now, what we want to do is cover the pot. The reason that we want to cover the pot is because if you leave the pot open, then it's going to take longer to boil. Why? Because you're going to be losing more heat from what it is that you're cooking more rapidly. It's going to take you more energy to bring it up to the point where it boils, correct? Now, the problem is this. When you have something in which you have an unequal source of heat on the bottom than on the top, it's very evident when you're boiling something that you don't want the pot to be open on top. You don't say, well, what's the difference? The same amount of heat going in. Because although it's the same amount of heat going in, there's more heat being lost, and we're going to have to make up for it. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that although on the bottom, obviously, think about this, once it starts to boil, so when you say to yourself, what's the nafkamina? If I leave it open, I don't leave it open. It's already at boiling. But that's not true, because the bubbles that come up from the bottom lose their heat now as this expands. It comes up to the top, and it goes right out the top. Mashenkin, I know if I keep it covered, for various reasons. First of all, I increase the pressure a little bit. Secondly, I don't allow the heat to dissipate, and so on and so forth. So over there, I know that I'm going to have the entire thing boiling more rapidly than if I leave it open. It's a double push. Where I have a source of heat in a pot, even though I'm not adding to that heat. So if I keep the pot covered, then lamaisa, what's going to happen is that heat that previously would have been lost through, would have escaped, simply. And I wouldn't have noticed the continued bubbling of the pot, even though the pot still retains enough heat in it to keep the temperature hot enough for the contents to boil. And if I had poured it into a cup, at that point it would stop boiling, which is the issue of the kli sheni versus the kli rishon. Once I cover it and it retains its heat, then I am going to see more hartacha, correct? Because it's not going to be lost. So this issue of shema yartiach, where a guy, which by the way is the Rambam's whole approach to the issur, which is probably the correct years and understanding the rif. Because in the Yerushalmi, it's evident that that's what the whole idea of Hatzman is. We might as well mention it now. That if you're Matman in a Dover that's most Ifevel, then the problem is we're afraid that it will be overboiling. In which case, you're gonna see it getting wet, or you hear the pot boiling over, you're going to uncover it. If you uncover it and it cools down, so then it will be considered to be a new Hatmana, and then we get to our Gzera of Shemayat Min Baremes. That's really the whole problem. So if that's the whole problem, that the rapidity with which the heat is dissipated is important to the Gzera, which is why something which is likely to cause Hartakha is moved into the set of Dover HaMoshi Peva. Because as far as the actual boiling of the liquid in the pot is concerned, it might as well be Mosi Peva. That's one way of looking at the sugya, which avoids needing to explain why are we looking at this as a Mosi Peva when clearly it's only a better insulator and so on. But that's the point. A better insulator for all intents and purposes. If the gezeira is that you're worried about overboiling, then a better insulator can also cause overboiling. Because right now that I take it off of the fire and I'm satisfied, it's not going to boil over. The reason I'm satisfied it's not going to boil over is because it's reached an equilibrium where the amount of heat that's pouring out of the top and the amount of heat that's causing the liquid to boil. But the moment I ruin that equilibrium by putting a coat on it, then the liquid's going to have to take that extra energy and it's going to be turned into steam, it's going to boil over, and now you've got a problem with your pot. So you'll uncover it. And that's the Iker Gezeira. Seeing it that way makes sense out of the whole sugya. Whereas it's childish to start trying to find reasons why a better insulator is actually a mechamein. Okay, so here is where that would be nogea. Because what's bothering Rashi about the Girsa is not problematic if you take this approach. Because the fact is that something that has more heat retention, it's made out of porcelain, such as the case of the Kedera, is indeed vis-a-vis a mecham most if ever, despite the fact that it's at the same temperature. And that would account for the gears that we have. Are we satisfied?
Mostly Pavel, relatively.
The first real explanation of Dovra HaMosif Hevel in 1,000 years, and you guys sit here and look like this again. It's like unbelievable.
Mosif Hevel relative to what would have been otherwise, relative.
Bottom line is, it can cause boiling. That's all that we care about. What can cause overboiling? That's
our
what we want to know.
Our plot of Shabbat, is that called? Why we
yes, but our plot of Shabbat is Shehiyah. Yeah. Let me explain once again. And this goes back to the machlokas at the beginning of the perek. All the way at the beginning of the perek, Tosis brings a shita that the entire discussion here could not be on a kedera chayata. In other words, anything that you would be allowed to put on your kira, let's say it isn't yet cooked, so therefore there's no chashash of shemayata, should certainly be okay on atmana. Well, you don't have a fire that's going on. It's not shihiyah like Hananiah is allowing on Akira. That's in a grufa. Correct? Tosfos says that's not true. Because Hatmana is more chomer than shihiyah. Remember that the case, in certain ways, remember that, for two reasons. Remember that the case of Akira is by definition exposed to the air. So despite the fact that you have heat rising from Akira, since the pot is exposed to the air, I have less of a chashash of this problem, which, by the way, is a back into what I just told you. That it's the exposed shalit ba'avira in the Gemara's Lashon is a central component of the entire sugya. As long as heat is dissipated, we don't worry as much as we do when heat is maintained inside. So therefore, you've got one difference. The other difference is that by the hatmana, by definition, your hatmana is longer term than your kira. Because what you want to do for your hatmana, you're putting something away, covering, you'll take it out tomorrow morning. The kira, the shia, there's nothing about the shia that makes us think about long-term storage. You're going to be taking it off in an hour when you come back from shul. And you'll be eating at that point. So there, inachinami. If it's not going to be ready, you're certainly it's out of mind. Forget about it. Bashenkein, the norm of Hatzman is that you keep it for the next morning. So over there, you have more of a shash, perhaps, of Shemayavo Lachtos. Okay, again, there's a lot of variables in this sugya. We already saw in Rashi the fundamental question all along of whether Kira is related to Hatzman. And that's where Tosis was so upset. How could it be related to Atmana? If Atmana means that the thing has to be covered. In Akira, the thing isn't covered, so by definition, it's not Atmana. Why is Rashi now being Mibaldo the Yotzros? We're going to see in today's Yerushalmi selection that there's very strong basis for Rashi being Mibaldo the Yotzros, no matter how you define Atmana. Because the two things are fundamentally interrelated, since they both come back to a Shema Yachata. And a Shema Yachata extends into Shema Yatmin Beremet. And what's wrong with being Matmin? Because there may be live coals, which you'll then again come back to Shema Yachata. So again, you need to discover where you're going to be Machmer on Shema Yachata. A group of the Ketumah has no Shaykhus to Hatman, it only has Shaykhus to Shion Akira. But there are other things that have Shaykhus to Akira and no Shaykhus to Hatman, such as whether the fire is open and so on. So therefore, don't compare these two issues, even though they both really come back to the same chashashas. As we've already seen, there's a lot of other elements. Is it the derech to expose the top? Sometimes it will be more matir natanur, which is hotter than we will in akira, depending on what it is that you're cooking. So if you're roasting something, you won't want to open up a roaster on Shabbos, etc., etc. So we need to make sure that we have all of our elements in place before coming to any kinds of hora'ot in this issue. And we need to also define the relative values of all of these different elements. Yes.
So with the code, for example, the worry about it boiling over, obviously it was on there during Bash Mashas, correct? And then you
were, no, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying you could even add. That was his
problem. So what's the series of events where you're worried about it boiling and then you have to take it and re-put it on? While it's a daimyo, and you would I don't understand why you
yes.
put it. It's still day, and then you're gonna
even if it's day.
So because of that, you take it off, and then you'd come to put it on.
Then it may boil up on Shabbos, and then you'll be matzman on Shabbos. But say it's an hour before Shabbos. You put your coat over.
Okay, good, good.
Okay, come back into the kitchen, and you see that it's leaking.
Okay.
She says, oh, no. So you uncover it. Okay. And then you go out. You go out to Daven Mincha. Come back after Kabbalah Shabbos. Now it's cooled off. So now you want to recover it. You come to recover it. Oh, gosh, got too cold. So now you're going to start dealing now with the temperature of your challah. On Shabbos, that's when we run into trouble. So just stay away from this whole thing. It's what we do to you. Now, the Yerushalmi's got an incredible new idea, which suggests that the reason for this whole takana, this is really wild, the reason for this whole takana is not to miss the drasha between Kabbalah Shabbos and Myrit. Because if we allow you to do all of these things up till Shabbos, so you'll figure, okay, no, I could still be matmin, I'll take care of my kedera right before Shabbos, then I'll be matmin. Like this, we force you basically to work out what you're doing during the day. Whatever it is going to have to be on your kira prepared before Shabbos and so on. So you'll make it to this year. So you never know what interesting elements are included in a takana, which sometimes you got to be careful not to say too much about, right? This is a chazal sof, the Gemara and Shabbos. So why did they answer it, right? And he says, ooh, look at the little birdie. This is some business. The Gemara says, we don't want to expose all of our reasons, because then we might be garm that the takana wouldn't be acceptable. I get this oftentimes at the Shabbos table. Like one of the kids will be pushing for, like, you know, why are we mounted this and that? It's all I need is to say it. Especially when it comes to issues of boys girls, you know. So then the girls are going to find out, and the boys are find out this. You know.
What's for dessert?
Huh?
What's for dessert?
Exactly. Okay, so there we are now with the question whether Kedera Gabi Mecha, Mecha Gabi Kedera. Sorry for getting a little sidetracked over here, but I just thought, really, because it's such a problematic thing that it was Kedai to take the time for. The Taka Pia Bebatseik, if you've got now, you've got some Batseik from before Shabbos, obviously, you could even have the pot to prevent it from boiling over. You could just have that batzek there. V'lo b'shvil she'echamuna, you can't do any of this so that you want to heat it on Shabbos. You can only do it b'shvil she'yu mishumarim, in order to keep the level of heat that you've had before. V'shem she'ein tovnim etachamin, kachin tovnim etachamin. And just as we're not allowed to use hatmana for heat, so too we can't use it for cold. Again, it's interesting, in the Yerushalmi, It uses this as a dependency as to whether the Isser was because of missing the drasha. So the nafka mina would be, if the time of the Isser is that you might miss the drasha, so then that's true, even because you want to bring the ice as late as possible, and you'll be timing it right before you go to shul. So therefore it would be also to be matmin as hatzonin. Again, completely different approach. This is if you don't have a freezer, of course. Rabbi Hitila Hantmina Tatsoni. The Ein Merakzina, it should say, Ein Merazkin is our word Merasek in modern Hebrew with a Sama. Merazek is Merasek. So Ein Merazkin, Lo Ata Sheleg, Velo Ata Barad, B'Shabbat, B'Shvil Sheyazuvu Meimav. Why that's true is a Machlokas Rishonim. Some learn you can't crush the snow on Shabbos because it's similar to the gezeira of squeezing fruit. Others learn that it's what's called molid, because since it was in the form of ice, and now the liquid suddenly appears, so to speak, out of nowhere, it's all magic. So that is called being molid something on Shabbos, and because it's similar to nolad, so we don't want, similar to Malach, you're being molding something, creating something, we don't let you do it. But, no tenu l'toch hakos, you could take ice, and put it into a cup of water or soda, and then the ice would then melt. Here's my focus, how to learn it. Does it mean, and then the ice melts into the water? Or does it mean you can take snow, put it into a cup, let it melt, and then have cold water? Because that depends if the Isser is because of Neilat. Indeed, all the Rishonim ask, say, on the Sefer HaTruma, says it's a Neilat. So then why is it mutter to put into a cup? Isn't it mukta afterwards? So he says, no, of course it means put it into a cup with something in it. So then when it melts, it isn't nicker that there's something different over here. There's just a little bit more water than there was before. But if you learn that the problem over here is because of risuk, so that even if you would put it into the water, into a container, so that it should turn into cold water, it should be mutter. Because I don't necessarily have a worry that you're going to, it's like two steps away. Maybe we wouldn't be gozer. It'd be two ways of learning the sugya. Sabra Josh, are you ready? Now here our question is, amazing, we've never been able to get away from that opening Mishnah. Here we go. At the fifth parak and we're still worrying about carrying, isn't that something? So the the question is, we've talked about your carrying, your possibility of carrying in the Mishkan and so on, but remember that the Torah also tells us Leman yanuach shorchav hamorecha. So we have, first of all, a mitzvah to say of shvitat behemtocha, your behemoth is supposed to get a good rest on Shabbos. And then we also have lotazakom malachata, etc., including your shor v'chamor, which is an isser lav. Now there's big machlokas about the nafkamina between the isser lav and the isser asay over here. Is the isser asay, is it mechayev you, for instance, to prevent your animal from having a good time? And it says laman yanuach. Suppose your animal feels like running around and tearing up the field. I mean, it's doing the loss on Shabbos. I mean, you've got to train that animal on Shabbos. You don't eat. I mean, you wait till I bring you food. You don't want to pull something out of the ground, do you? So, I mean, do you have to make sure your animal doesn't do malacha? It's strange. Where's the malacha from Shabbos, huh? Mm-hmm. If it's not malacha, it's misasek. The Gemara is going to deal with that issue. Points out it ain't much of a rest for an animal to be made miserable now, is it? But that's the old taina of the reform against the Laman Yanuchu Ata. So where do we draw the line?
Actually, the reform that we think of a bark mitzvah. You heard about
this? That
way? A bark mitzvah. There would be bar mitzvahs for dogs. They get a talus and a kibbutz.
Okay.
Come on, Yemi.
I'm not joking. No, the joke is what he said.
Okay, okay.
He said canine on our favor. It's a true thing. I'm serious. It's
Okay. All right. There's also the question of how does this Isra relate to the Isra of Mechamer HaKarban Behima? Mechamer is that you cause an animal to carry something or to do Malach on Shabbos with your voice. Or it's used to following you around. You give it orders and tell it where to go and so on. Now there, some learn, the Ramban learns, that that's actually the Isser of the Lav. The Rambam learns that Mechamer is a Durabona. It's not a Diorizer, which is problematic from the Sugya later on. But one thing is for sure, you cannot be Goren directly that your Behema should do Malach on Shabbos. In which case, when it comes to Hotzah, Bechorah, even though the Pnei Yeshua believes that Hotzah is less Chomer because of Malach HaGuruah, here it becomes the definitive malach of your animal. The problem is that we have a tendency to dress animals. Now the reason that we dress them is to make handling them easier for ourselves. The dress of the animal normally consists of a shmira of some kind. So you have a bit, you have a saddle, and so on and so forth. If the animal walks out into Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos wearing these things, then essentially it's doing a malacha that you have set up. So the same way we understand you can't use your animal to carry things on Shabbos, you shouldn't be able to let your animal be wearing something that's unsuitable for dress. And here the question is, what constitutes a nice dress for an animal? Later on we're going to talk about, there's overdressing. Later on we're going to talk about what a woman can go out with on Shabbos.
Literally dressed again.
What is overdressing? Now, of course, for an animal, the shayla of overdressing would mean over shmirah. In the same way that a human wears something on Shabbos and it's considered bottle to himself, it's not carrying. I'm not going to say you have to be naked on Shabbos because you're carrying your clothes out to the surrounding. Because those clothes are bottled to you. It's not we have a special heter to wear clothes, it's that it's not called carrying. This is what you are. That's what they always say. Clothes make the man, right? So this is what you are. Now the same thing is true on an animal. Those things which an animal always wears, because that's the normal level in which an animal is shamur. That becomes equivalent of a dress for a human. But if you overdress, maybe that's awesome. For that matter, if you underdress on the animal, it would be awesome. Because if the thing that it's wearing isn't really usable, and it isn't particularly decorative, then that may be a problem. Now there's another gezeira that we're going to also wonder about, which is the fear that people will think that you're heading out for business purposes on Shabbos. And that you're actually driving. You're driving to market. That's another problem we're going to talk about. But our first issue is shmirah. Those things which are normal shmirah are considered to be normal clothing for an animal. So, what can an animal not wear so that I won't be over on shvitat behemti? Well, yotzei hagamal ba'afsar. How do they translate afsar in English? Is it a bit?
No, it's a bridle, maybe.
A bridle?
Halter.
See, I don't know how to define the difference. A bit goes into your mouth, so that's not a bit.
It goes around the mouth, right? It's a rope around.
Does it have a translation? I don't.
Halter.
I'm not quite sure what that is. I mean, basically, we're talking about a rope. Yeah.
A length of rope whose end is tied to the animal's mouth. So that would be tied to the bit, and it's on the side.
No. Don't be loose. Okay. Each thing is particularly different.
It's sort of like a rope tied around sort of a mock.
That type of thing, but it's basically just it's held by a rope. A na'aka, which is a female camel, can go out with a chotam. Now a chotam actually penetrates the nose, and that's the animal's much more controlled, obviously, by that than it is with simply a rope, even when that rope goes near its mouth. Luvdikim, which are a type of strong chamor, goes out with a prumbia. Now, prumbia probably is a bit, right?
It is a bit, right.
How do they translate? Translated as bit.
Yeah,
all right, so that actually surrounds the jaw. Sus bishir. A shir is a collar.
The bit doesn't surround the jaw,
Does it?
A bit actually goes, it's a bar that goes in the mouth that you pull up on either side.
But it goes up around the jaw, right?
Yes. The bar goes in it, and then
it goes up. That's the point that I was making. I would never argue with a Texan. And a shear is a collar. All types of animals that normally would be wearing a collar around the neck, even those collars have a little ring in the collar that allows you to tie string to it. So here the question is, the thing is up against its neck, but that thing has another thing in it for which I'm going to tie a rope. Then if the rope is hanging on, how much of the rope is, the rope's not even on the animal. Isn't that considered to be hotza? Okay, all of these things need to be discussed. What about the rope and so on? So all things that normally would wear a collar, it's like a dog. that is, or small animals. These collars could be put there just because they're pretty. So even lanoi is considered to be a proper dress for an animal. And what's interesting is mazina layam the tovlan b'mekomat. You can be maza on that collar, and you can be tovel the collar right where it is. So you don't have to take it off. Sorry, don't have to take it off the animal. Just be tovel the animal. It's not too tight. The question is whether the chiddush of mazin aleihem is also b'mekomat, so that the other gears, if you take a look in the Bach, and it's really machlokes in the Gersalas here. Our gears are similar to the Rambam's gears. The Rambam holds that the case of mazin aleihem has nothing to do with b'mekomat. The reason that this gets a little complicated is, what would be the problem anyway of doing hazah b'mekomat? Hazah, all you need is for a little tiny bit of the sprinkling to touch the collar, so what? There's no chiddush that's been mekoma. Why would I think I have to take it off? So those Rishonim who have over here the mekoma, so the problem is that we are afraid that the hazar will go on to the animal. So what's so bad? It says if you're maza, an animal, then that's the equivalent of doing malacha with the water, and will pass all the remainder of the water. Many argue on that, because here I wasn't going out to be maza an animal. Be maza on the shear. The fact that some of it touched the animal shouldn't be considered to be doing malacha with the mind. So others learn the gzeres, we're afraid maybe it will only touch the animal, and then will drip down on the collar, and you'll think that it was matire the collar. Okay, whatever. Again, according to the Rambam, that's not the chiddush. The chiddush, according to the Rambam, is maza and alema, they have a din of tumah midiraisa. Now you might think that this type of kli is for noi of the behema is not a kli midiraisa, and if it's only a kli midirabanan, then it does not take hazoya. Even if we're matami it not to give it the din of requiring the red hide for water. This hazoya.
Mikveh for an animal. This is like a washing place for an animal.
No. It's not a mikveh for the animal. It's for the collar. The problem is the collar. The person is going to touch the collar. If the collar is a human kli for caring for animals, and therefore the metal collar will be makabel tuma. The question is, if it would be makabel tuma, min rabbanan, wouldn't require azoya. Comes on the mishnah, tummy requires azoya. That's how the Rambam understands it. Anyway, my na'aka b'chotam. When you say the na'aka requires a chotam, exactly what is it referring to? A na'aka, says Rabbi Bar Chana, is a reference to a na'akata chivarti. That's talking about those white na'akot, which are very difficult to control. And the way that you get them under control, it goes out with the zivama de parzla. It goes out with a metal ring through its nose that you actually puncture the nose. And therefore, when you pull at it, it is not interested in fighting. Now, she'inken, if you try to hold it, there's a fascinating illustration of something that looks vaguely like a camel with something that has it looks vaguely like a ring through its nose. Now, if you need illustrations on this level, such as, these are the kind of thing you have on each. Yeah, if you need illustrations on this level, our president will be happy to supply them. So, if that's some type of ancient, taken off the wall of a temple, I can understand. Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, that explains it. It's an ancient picture, fine. Okay, so there you see that was normal for a Naka. Luvdikin b'prumia, what is that? Amar Rav Huna, this refers to Luvdikin is a type of donkey. It's a Chamra Luba. And these are very strong donkeys. And the way that they're controlled is b'pagi de parzala. It's again, it attaches both around, it goes around, as Rashi says, the Beit HaLechi itself. It goes around the head and the edges of the jaw. So that's much more than a simple shear would be. Levi was interested in getting one of these Libyan camels. or Mitzri camels, the way it does it brings over that luv. We find luv as a word for donkey, sorry. Luv called Mitzrayim. So again, Libya, Egypt, and so on, basically the same area. You know, now we've separated between the two, but so he sent a lot of money, basically, to Bechozoi, who were animal dealers, and he included a check to pay for a Libyan donkey. They sent his money back because it was very difficult to get hold of these things. They would have had to travel all the way to Louvre and so on. So they sent his money back, and they included in the package with his money some barley. Now, what was he supposed to make out of that? Well, in those days, you're supposed to use your brains, not write an email back and say, I got some weird package with barley. You're supposed to sit and figure out what they were telling you. So what were they telling you? They were telling you, look, we're not interested in traveling a half a year to Libya from Bavel, because that's what a normal trip would take to get you your camel, your donkey. But you should know, Nigre de Chamra Sare. The footsteps of a donkey are defined by his barley. Meaning, you want a good donkey, buy yourself a local donkey, feed it well. Get it young, nourish it properly, don't use any of this modern donkey food, specially engineered for donkeys. Give it good saorim, and then you'll end up with the equivalent of a chamra luba. What do you need to go now import something from Luba? That's all they do.
Nature versus
there. Omer Machlif, the Rebbe, the Talmidim, had like a list of questions of changing the name of the animal to the type of shmir to see whether one would be awesome. In other words, is more shmiras or less shmiras and so on. So the machlif and shall Rebbe shall zubizu ma. Let's take the case of a nakaba afsa. Nakaba afsa for sure, loti ba'i lecha. There's nothing to even question. Because an afsa is clearly not sufficient to watch there's a white naka, because it's very wild. And kima delo mintra de masriyo. If it's not going to be really usable as a shmira, then why is it walking out with it on Shabbat? It's just pure masri. Titiboylecha gamal bechotemai. The question is the other way around. Gamal normally would be sufficient with an afsar. Instead, you put in a nose ring. Nose ring is overkill. Doesn't really need that. So do we say my? Kivan the sagile b'afsar, since it would have been sufficient to simply put an afsar over it, and then therefore more than that, the chotam becomes a masui. Or dominant yuruta yitzirata lo aminon masui. Or do we say that extra care of watching is not considered to be a masui? Now the problem is, Tosis says, we're going to see later, that Luvdikim donkeys are actually okay to watch with an afsa. Why would the Mishnah say that it goes out with a prumbia, which is more than an afsa? Isn't that already an indication that Nitiruta Yitirata is okay? So Tosis says, and that many other Rishonim define it even more, obviously there's a range of shmira. It's not that there's a particular and only this particular kli that is usable for a particular animal. I mean, different particular animals have different personalities too, for heaven's sakes. There's a question of genotype, there's a question of phenotype. I mean, you've got a particular animal that needs control. We're going to see later on, we're going to even ask about what a particular animal who hard to control what the din is. So there's a spectrum of shmira, which certainly would include the difference between an afsa and a prumbia, let's say for a donkey. The only question the Gemara has over here, explains Tosfos, is where it's beyond the spectrum. So that a nose ring is something you would not normally do. You're not going to puncture the animal's nose where this type of animal doesn't require that level of shmir bichlal. That type of thing is what we're asking. If it's beyond what would be included in the set of shmiras for this animal. So that's our question. They ask Rebbe, what would be the din of a gamal b'chotem? Is it considered to be nitirut yitirata, so it's overkill? Overkill is not considered to be a masur or not? Omar lefanav, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, so again, speaking of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, who was there again on this occasion, and he piped up with Kachamaraba. He always quotes his father, Rabbi Yossi. I'll tell you what my father said. Arba meimot yotzot ba'afsa. Four types of animals go out just with the rope, and that is the sus, the parrot, the gamal, and the chamor. Now, why did he say that? Lamute mai. What is he saying? Cannot do that. Lav lamute gamal bechotam. Isn't he coming to say the following should go out with an afsa and no more? So in other words, I will not be allowed to use a chotam on the gamal. And that was your question. And they said, how do you know that's what it was coming for? Maybe it was come to tell me that anything else cannot use the afsa. Not that these animals cannot use a chotam. No, there's two ways of understanding. He's coming to limit the number of things that go under the afsa, or he's coming to limit these animals from going outside of afsa. So you're assuming it meant that he's coming to limit the animals. No, he's coming to limit afsar. So in other words, other animals can't go out with an afsar. So you say, well, I have a very tame naka. There ain't no such thing. And a naka can't go out with an afsar. So labute naka b'afsar. B'matnita tana. The brighter says, lubdikim the gamal yotzin b'afsar. The lubdikim and the gamal are able to go out b'afsar. Kitanot. Ein chaya yotza b'sogya. So here we have actually a machlokas tanoim that seems to revolve around the issue of shmir yeterata. The luvdikim, the chamor, and the normal gamal. So here the Bryce says, ein chaya yotza b'sogya. A normal, a chaya, we haven't been discussing chayas here at all. We've been talking about only domesticated behemoth. But you're always saying, you may have a pet. A soga is essentially a shear, which is a rope, a type of collar. And it's a collar that you just have a rope-like collar you put around its neck. So a chaya should not go out with a soga, as Hananya says. Why not? Yotze b'soger, b'chol davar mishtamer, b'mayaskina. Now what type of chaya are we talking about? I mean, even if chaya gedayla, what? Somebody would be matir to take a lion out with a little. Well, there are people who do this with a little rope around its neck. I mean, Hananya wouldn't have been matir something that is not mishtamer. That clearly, everybody was matir. It's not mishtamer. It's not going to be good. So misagile soger. Ella b'chaya ketanas, what are you talking about? Taking out your dog, your pet? I mean, milo sagilo sagir. Why would somebody say it's not enough? Ella lav chatuli kabinaya. The question is one of those roba chatulim. You know, on the one hand, it's similar to a lion. On the other hand, it doesn't necessarily have that same desire to get away, right? Because it, in other words, we're talking about a domesticated chatul. So Tanakhava Savakiva the Sagile Bemitzna Ba'alma Maso. You apparently the Tanakhama says, what do you need to have something around its neck for Bichlal? Isn't that a little bit of an overkill? So you shouldn't even need a soger. Whereas where Hananya apparently holds, Kol Nitiruta Yiterata Lormir Maso, the extra Nitira, even though it's not needed, is not considered to be a masuri. And Omer Ravuna Barchi Omer Shmuel Halacha Kechananya. Indeed, that's how we pass. And I would have liked to go further, but I think I better get home. But let's do our da. Okay. Lo kiso bibod yom lo yechaseno mishitech hashech kiso v'nitgale mutar hakasoto. ממלא את הכיתון ונותן את תחת הקר או תחת הכסת. אומר רבי יונה בשמול, מותר להטמין את הצונן. אומר יוסי, מה קרה שמולן? Of course, תנינה, ממלא יונה בכיתון ונותן את תחת הקר או תחת הכסת. אומר לה, what do you mean, מה קרה שמולן? טובה קרה שמולן. אם היא מטמין את הרבה, מן אני מן הדבר שאין דרכו להטמין, no one will think that you're being מטמין. אבל דבר שדרכו להטמין, maybe is also even if it's צונן. קרה שמולן, אומר רבי יונה רבי, אוסר להטמין את הצונן. What? Hatanya Rebbe Yitir Matmina Tz. Ah, look, Ashi. Hombi Kabi de Lashamim Rebbe Shmom Rebbe Yosef. The halabanta to the shaman. Yad yosef rabbi v'yomar asula tmina datsonim. Amar lefanav rabbi shmo rabbi yosi abba itila tmina datsonim. Oh! Ha-horazakein. Amar kvava borah hekamar v'chavim zeze. Shilu rabbi yosi kayama yakafuf v'yoshev v'dei rabbi. Do rabbi shmo rabbi yosi v'malam hakam avosav avi. V'kofu v'yoshev v'dei rabbi. V'kamar kvar horazakein. Amar nachman daro avdei. Atmin litzone. V'ayte li mayad ofim kapil arma. Shama Ravami Vikbit, Omrabias by time Ikbit. Kabusi Abbot, Kodak Rabba Kodakishmo, Kishmo, Domrav Yamashmo, Mutu Atman at that son name. Kirab, Domrav Shmo, Baravitam and Rav, Koshu, Nefa, Kamochu Chai, and Bobby Shul Bishulin Offer. Yeah, but who suffer on the Hoshif Shine? Turn about an apple, Bishamarin, turn in Rafi, but ever seen a Mosif ever, Mishakashaka, in Balosif Mosif, Ketadu Ose, or better, not Ketadu Ose. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, he can even. Notel at the Sadinim, or Miniach at the Glufkrim, or Notel at the Glufkrim, Miniach at the Sadinim. Vechain another Kulai, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Lo Asur Lo Tomecha, Avo Pinaomi Mecha Mecha, Mutar, because Hashtakuriko Makiva, what we're afraid of Tufiko Matashila. Toman the Kisab Davar Nito Beshabas, or Toman Bedavar Shinon Nito Beshabas, or Kisab Davar Nito Beshabas, I raise a Notel Umachazir. Toman the Kisab Davar Shinon Nito Beshabas, או שתמן בדבר הניתו בשבס וכיס בדבר שאינו ניתו בשבס אם היה מגולה מקצתו נוטה למחזיר אם לא היה נוטה למחזיר רבי רומר לאורך שפישתן דקה הרי הוא כזר מניח אם מרחה מגה במרחה לא כדרה אגה בכדרה אבל לא כדרה אגה במרחה מרחה מגה בכדרה בתוך הספיר בבית סייף ולא בשביל שיהיה חמור לשביל שיהיו בשמרים ובשם שאין תומני וזכני כך אין תומני צצוני רבי יתיר להתמינת הצוני ואם מרקסין מרסקין לא את השלג ולא את הברד בשבת בשביל שיעזוב במימיו אבל נותנו לתוך הקוץ ולתוך הקערה ואינו חושש במה ואימה יוצא ומה אינה יוצא יוצא גמר ואפסר ונעקה בחותם ולובזקים בפרומיה סוס בשיר וכל בעלי אשר יוצאים בשיר ונמשכים בשיר ומאזין עליהם ותבלים בקומן בא את העקה בחותם רבה ברכן הנעקה תחיברת בזממה דפרזלה לובזקים בפרומיה אמר ונחם רלובה בפג דפרזלה Levi shodar zuzi lebech v'zoy lemizman hakam luba tzoru and shodar le sa'are as if to say the nigger the chamer sa'are omer av yinom ishmo makulipin lefein rebbe shazur b'zumal nakaba avs nu lo tibay lecha kivin olam yintra beim that's for sure masrihu ki tibay lecha gamal b'chotam mai kivin esagli b'avsa masrihu odim ne tirut yitirata lo amrin en masrihu אמר לפניו רבי שמעון רבי יוסי, כך אמר ארבע בהמות יוצאות באפסר, סוס פרד וגמל וחמור. So what for למותי מי? Certainly למותי גמל וחותם ונק. Not necessarily. למותי נקה באפסר. ומתנית אתנו לובדקין וגמל יוצאים באפסר. כתנוי. אם חי יוצא בסוגר, חנן יאמר יוצא בסוגר וכל דבר משתמר. במה יסכינם? אם היא בחיה גדולה מסגר לסוגר, it's a waste. Elab chayak tana milo sagim l'soger. What's the problem? Elab chatulik kebenayel. Where the chatul is more, the soger is more than what's necessary. So tana kama sova given the sagel of mitzvah mi'alma masuyu. The chanan is sova kol nitiruti tirata lo amrin and masuyu.